flew in from all around the world and all around Australia and Tasmania to the event. You guys aren't laughing, but it's funny for Australians. Tasmania is part of Australia, but it's sometimes referred to as that little island off the south coast of Australia.
I could go back and laugh if you want to say it again.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome to a very special episode of Super Fast Business. This one is the Fast Web Formula 4 debrief, and it's being conducted in a somewhat unofficial environment. I'm actually sitting at home using a portable recorder on my coffee table, and right beside me in real life, I actually have Ezra Firestone.
Flanked by Ezra Firestone.
I'm flanked. And Ezra from New York, who participated as an expert speaker at Fastweb Formula 4 on the topic of e-commerce, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But I also have another special guest from overseas. I have James Reynolds from Dubai.
Sitting on the right flank. So Ezra's to the left, I'm to the right.
So I'm flanked.
Yeah.
Now, we all have a tea here, so if you hear Ezra slurping, he's got the hot tea.
Chamomile.
It's not actually.
This is chamomile.
No, it's just normal black English tea.
Oh, man. I guess you're right.
Well, since I made it, I'm pretty certain.
I thought it was chamomile.
If you hear a clink of the glass, that's because Reynolds and I have opted for the Long Island tea, which apparently, famously, has no actual tea in it. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No. See, we're already into it. So we're actually, this is the day after the event, and we have in front of us the event run sheet. And we thought it would be a good idea just to talk about what happened on each day and just get some basic reflections on that. What do you think, guys?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. So, in fact, just before Fastweb Formula 4, there was a pre-event, and that was just a small group workshop for Silver Circle members. And at that one, we had 20 of the 30 members flew in from all around the world and all around Australia and Tasmania to the event. You guys aren't laughing, but it's funny for Australians. Tasmania is part of Australia, but it's sometimes referred to as that little island off the south coast of Australia.
I could go back and laugh if you want to say it again.
I'm sure the listeners are laughing. Most of them would get it right.
We had people from all around Australia and also from Tasmania. And what we talked about there was, how would you describe that day? It was quite an unusual format compared to your average mastermind format. The average mastermind format is you all sit around a table and each person has a turn and they say what their problem is and everyone else solves it. In this case, we did a different format. So what did we do and how do you think it went?
Well, we did a PEQ session, which I still don't quite know what the PEQ stands for, but it was all 20 of us in the room really digging deep on big sort of problems and really getting everyone's involvement in on that one issue and then drilling it down to kind of really some good, strong action items for people to take away.
Yeah.
I thought one of the cool things about that was you get 20 people's viewpoints on one topic, and a lot of people have overlapping solutions to problems. And then what we did was we took the 20 or so answers that came out of it, and we boiled it down to the top three.
How do we boil it down, though? This is where it's different than the round the table, everyone's suggesting their answers, because typically the problem with that is that the most persuasive or influential person is going to get their point across well. But in this case, everyone's answers are individually written down privately to them and then shared, and you put everyone's answers up until there's no more people left. And once you have all the answers, then we score them. We vote.
That's right.
Which answers have the most points.
And each answer is anonymous at that point. That's cool.
Well, by the time they're all up, it's not about, oh, this was Ezra's idea or this was James Reynolds' idea. It's like that's just the idea. You see, the deal is a lot of people have come up with the same answer, but if it's already on the board, you just don't add it again. So now it might be Ezra and James and someone else's idea. They all had the same idea, but it's up on the board. And then the idea has to fight for itself against all other ideas. And the goal is actually to rub off all the ideas except for the top three. So for a really well-framed question, you could end up with three solid answers. And the whole thinking is that if we focus more of our energy on just the best answers, we'll get a better result than trying to implement every answer. Because, as you know, we try and have too many things to do, and we do a lot of them poorly. But if we only have one or two things, maybe three things to do, then it's actually much easier to slice through those.
Yeah, and I think that goes along really well with the theme of the Silver Circle group itself, which is focusing on getting one thing done each week. And what's interesting about that is you wouldn't expect to be more effective doing less things, but in my experience, you turn out to be significantly more effective doing less things better.
Yeah. So that was an interesting day. It was really good for people to meet each other. And we finished up. We had a nice dinner down opposite the Opera House. And then we rolled into the first day of FastWeb Formula 4, where we had around 125 people come. And we kicked it off with a session on leverage. That was my topic. I wanted to have a reflection on what was going on in my business over the last 18 months. Things like Own the Race Course, the way that Superfast Business started from scratch pretty much and became a solid website for my business, but also other leverage points that I found have been like the few things that I focus on, but I do lots of it, and I've just stopped doing a lot of things. And I think people felt a sense of relief knowing that they can actually get a compound effect from doing less things, but just doing the right things. So were there any highlights for you in the leverage session?
Leverage, what do we covered? We've covered a few good bits. For me, which actually came up in the previous day, was really acknowledging who your best customers are and working much more with them. So we talked about lead scoring, which was a strong one, really identifying based on, value of, sale, how often people order, identifying those top customers and just working with them and kind of ignoring or giving less attention to the rest. That was a big one for me.
I thought the top 4% concept was an interesting one.
Yeah. So if you take the Pareto principle, we know that 20% of the things that we're doing are getting 80% of the results. Well, if you move that a little bit further down the scale, 4% of the things you're doing are getting about 64% of the results. So just a few things getting the majority of your results. So for most people, if you took all the things that you're doing poorly or that you're never even getting to, you could safely just cross them off and it's not actually going to change anything at all. And one of the statistics I shared was how the bottom 40% of my customers were generating me a massive 2% of my gross revenue, just 2%. And that led me to a huge shift in the way that I sell my products. And it created a much simpler model. I have far less products and services in my product lineup now, and much more clarity about how I'm serving those products, in like the recurring aspect of it versus single products, and also who I'm serving those products to. And that clarity in thinking, and it's resulted in the products page on superfastbusiness.com. If you have a look at that products page, that is an exact reflection of what the change to my business has been and how it's been such a good change. So then we went into another session that I ran called Create. And this one was really driving home the point that most people are consuming and taking stuff in and not doing enough creating. And I think we're in a content creation environment where creating something, even like this audio, it just involves one audio recorder and us to create this. But it's something we can leverage. We can record this, publish it for other people. Thousands of people can listen to it and get the concepts and ideas that we're talking about. And at some point in the recording, someone might think, hey, you know what? That sounded like a cool conference. I'd love to come to the next conference. And if that were to be the result, then that would be a payoff for creating that content. So did you like the content creation session?
Yes.
Oh, it's a tough crowd here.
Well, no, I'll tell you what. It's one of the consistent conversations that we've been having for 6 months now, that creating content that is relevant to the topics and conversations that your community is interested in, and then syndicating that content so that you can see it, so that they can see it, is a very effective strategy for engaging your group of people and then making them offers. And I've implemented that in every one of my businesses, not even my content businesses, my physical product businesses. And you know, I'm a big believer in this. I'm.
Well, I think you'd be a massive believer. I mean, we're like a day or so into the launch of your product at the moment, which you and I have been talking about for quite some time, and sharing ideas about how to structure the content, how to record it, how to make it effective for the person doing it. I think we even created a bonus piece of content for it.
We did.
So now you're getting the payoff. You're literally getting thousands of people buying something from you. So you get a payoff for actually creating something.
Yeah, I think it is the most highly leveraged use. I have decided that is the most highly leveraged use of my time.
Yep,
creating content.
You're now an expert. And James, you were telling me recently about your results from doing the Own the Race course in your business.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just been it's been fantastic. It can take a little time to gain traction, and you've got to keep doing it consistently. But after a while, that payoff will be huge, and you'll just find yourself popping up in people's environments all the time. I mean, the conversations I have now where people have come to me and said, I just see you everywhere. And that's a result of the consistent content I've been putting out. And it's converting people from interested parties into sales because they're beginning to, you know, trust me more. And the payoff's been fantastic. So yeah, stop being a consumer, start creating, and the results will be great.
And just a regular content schedule. I mean, we laid out the formula in this particular module, and if you want to get a taste for it, at least opt in for Own the Race course from the Superfast Business website there. Those opt-ins on the sidebar there, or the little yellow thing that slides up, they lead to the first course that I put out about this.
I think that a really nice little nugget from that session was the storytelling, the one sentence about storytelling.
Oh, yes. Yeah, incorporating stories. And I actually shared
who did what when.
Yeah, and I shared stories about the stories I've been using and how they came about and what results I got from it. Now, if you're listening to this and you want to get access to these recordings, you will be able to get them inside the FastWebFormula.com membership. You just go to FastWebFormula.com and join up. And I'll be putting the recordings in that membership when I get the recordings, and we'll be formatting them and making them look nice. So next up, we had a nice lunch. I buy lunch for people at these events. It was quite
nice. And
the
lunch was good.
Yeah, good networking. And then Ezra took the floor, and he had 90 minutes of non-stop. And by non-stop, I mean, did you actually breathe?
I did. I took some breaths in there.
Took some breaths. And he delivered a stunning and compelling session on e-commerce and the sort of things he's been up to. And it was totally aligned with the course that he's putting out at the moment called Brown Box Formula. And we have a link to that on the thinkatget.com podcast that we do on our products page. You could check that out. Now, Brown Box Formula is out. Ezra is now the authority in the e-commerce space, and we're lucky enough for Ezra to share with us the session. And how did you think the session went for you?
I thought it went really well. I mean, I really enjoy listening to myself talk, so I, of course, thought it went well. But I did get positive feedback on it from the group. And one of the things that we've been talking about, you and I, for a while, is when you are presenting information, it's good to have attention on whether or not the people you're presenting it to can consume it. And one of the mistakes that I've made in the past is having too much content in my presentation, so much so that it's hard for people to walk away and remember those concepts because I'm speaking so fast. So this time I tried to slow it down a little bit, and I think I could even slow it down more.
Well, I think relatively speaking, you're quite a fast-paced presenter. And the people who are in e-commerce who came to the event came up to me afterwards and said, that ticked a big box for me. So I think it was a success based on that
I think even, you positioned it, Ezra, going in as being great for people that do e-commerce and for those that are perhaps selling services to e-commerce. But there was so much in there that was fantastic in terms of general conversion strategies and trust factors, and that people could take away from your presentation, apply it to whatever business they're in. Even if they're just in services or an offline business, there was some real good stuff there. So I enjoyed it.
Awesome. And that's why I scheduled that topic, because you can't hide from it. Normal retail stores are suffering, and it's going to be a part of it. And in my own customer base, e-commerce stores are fantastic service business customers. So we had afternoon tea, and I don't think I could have prepared for what happened next. it was definitely a world first, I think. But Ezra and I did a podcast for our Think Act Get podcast show. We had some brand new t-shirts that are customer had sent us, a fan had made some shirts.
Beautiful, beautiful
new
t-shirts.
Logo as
yeah,
well.
New logo.
Sent them in, we wore those, and we podcasted for 90 minutes straight. Now, after the big e-commerce presentation and afternoon tea, Ezra's voice was starting to wane. He was getting a little bit queasy, so we got him some tea, and he kept sipping that tea for about 82 minutes and 8 minutes to go. Ezra announces that he really needs to go to the bathroom, and he just hopped up out of his chair and disappeared off the stage, which was just fantastic. It was one of those magic moments.
You know, we had closed, we moved to the Q&A section.
We did. We actually played back the audio to confirm that. We'd moved to the Q&A, and Ezra's heard on tape saying, "So have we finished the show now? We're just in the questions? Right, I got to pee." But that would have been enough, but it was even better when Ezra came back and he started answering a lady's question, but he didn't know what the question was, so he just answered it anyway.
I think it was a relevant answer. It'll be interesting to hear.
Well, to you it was.
Yeah.
No, it was great. It was really good. It was one of those moments. And when I spoke to people after that, they said they really enjoyed watching our chemistry and seeing how a show is actually recorded. Yeah. And did you enjoy it?
I did. And I think if we're talking, taking a step back to the content creation side of things, that episode 21 of Think, Act, Get, which will actually be live by the time you're listening to this episode, would be an episode worth listening to if you're interested in process behind creating long-form content, which is what a podcast is.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I do short podcasts.
Well, it's still long-form content when you take a look at the fact that most content created in our community is 3 to 5 minute video type content.
Okay. But when I take the audio from that video and put it on my site as a podcast...
I see. Well, I don't consider that a real podcast.
I would change the definition to show, maybe. If it's a show, sometimes they're going to be longer, but yeah, I know what you mean. Dedicated. It's a dedicated show, a podcast show. You also do podcasts too, James. It's a really common thing within our small group, because I've been a real advocate of this since I got introduced to it by another podcaster. And it's been, when I actually go and survey where my best customers came from, so many of them have come from the podcast, because it's a great way to differentiate. How's the podcasting been going for you?
Fantastic. It's been great. I think what's so good about it is as I said, it can be a long form piece of content, and it's probably one of the only opportunities you get to be in someone's earbuds almost in a one-to-one fashion for 60 minutes, or in your case, even 90 minutes when you did the session the other day. And that's unique. You build up trust with people, they get to know you. And I've had some really good payoffs. It's been, in fact, Ezra's been a guest on my podcast.
I like your podcast. I listen to your podcast and I like your artwork, but you just have epic. Your content is really, really good. I want to point out that when in the Silver Circle Day before Fast Web Formula 4 started, you asked who here found out about me on a podcast. And almost every person raised their
hand. Yeah, 2/3. That was a lot, yeah.
And these are more than $1,000 a month customers. So I also recorded a podcast after the Silver Circle Day with a couple of other members. But most Silver Circle members are podcasting. and at the least being guests on other people's because it's such a great traffic
yeah.
technique. So that was a lot of fun, and I'm going to look forward to watching the video of that as well, just for extra medium. And on a side note there, when I put the course out, it comes with videos, but also we transcribe it and we strip out the audio because a lot of people like to consume the entire event in audio format, or they like to read it. In fact, this might sound crazy, but I like to read the transcript of my previous events. I find that is the fastest and easiest way for me to remember what was discussed by just reading the word-for-word transcript.
You know, it's interesting when you have a look at the world that we're in today and how different people prefer to consume media in different formats. And it's so easy to cater to each different media format because you only need one piece of content to have a video, to have an audio, to have text, to have an image. It all comes from one piece of content.
Well, you guys proved that the other day, right? I mean, that's what it was. Everything there up on stage, you got the video, got the audio out of it, and I guess that's transcribed as well, so.
It will be.
Yeah.
Someone's transcribing this call, and I always sympathize with them, thinking every time I actually say a word, they're going to have to transcribe that too, like this one and that one and the next one. Okay. We then had dinner. And that doesn't sound very remarkable, but it was a great dinner. One of the keys to this event was to bring together the community. And when you have 125 people at seated 10 to a table, it's like 12 tables, and it was so noisy. Like I asked the DJ, you know, could you put some music on? He said, it is on. And the conversations were overpowering the music in the background because people were just so connected to each other, deep in conversation. Well, and it went from 7 till almost 12, actually.
It was just such a high touch event. And that's one of the lessons that I took away as someone who puts on events and gathers people together.
As someone who's sitting there in a Fast Food Formula 4 hoodie.
In a Fast Food, exactly. the details really do matter. You know, you really took care of everyone and made sure that, you know, the tablecloths were nice and the menu was beautiful and everything was just you paid so much attention to the details that everyone felt so well taken care of. Who wouldn't want to have that experience again?
You know, you said the magic word there. Again, no, I'm kidding. It was experience. we're in the experience economy. So I want people to have an experience. I give them clothing. I feed them. And we entertain them and we give them good content. We did have a comedian there, and you made it hard for him, Ezra, because half his jokes were about you, and you had to go and have a little sleep after such a huge day and jet lag and everything else. But there were some very, very funny gags there. We had Joel Osborne, and he was tremendously generous. He went well over the amount of time that I booked him for, and had some cracker jokes. Do you remember any of them that stood out for you, James?
Well, I remember he was tremendously bendy. That he managed to get his whole body through a tennis racket at one stage, which you missed, Ezra. That was I don't know how he did it, but somehow he went through the tennis racket and came out the other side. Yeah, no, it was good stuff. I mean, it had the crowd in fits of laughter, and it was a great end to the day. You know, great conversation followed by great laughs. It was a real good fitting way to finish day one.
I like how he, you know the story of Steve-O and the missing mouse, right? My friend Steve-O, who's quite often on these podcasts, there's always a bit of a joke that he may or may not have borrowed one of my mice years ago, an actual computer mouse. Well, I got him back by nominating him as the volunteer. It sounds weird, volunteer. He went over to Steve-O and saying, if anyone would like to volunteer, just put your hand up. And he was like saying it to Steve's face to the point where Steve understood that he was the volunteer. And he had Steve-O up there on the stage and he blindfolded him. And he then got lighter fluid and squirted it all around Steve-O and all over Steve-O's trousers and then asked the audience if he could borrow a lighter, which someone happily gave him. And he bent over to ignite the lighter fluid and then stopped and looked up and he said, seriously, no one's going to stop me here. And And then he said, "You guys are terrible. Like, this is unbelievable. I'm about to set fire to this man." And Steve-O's in a blindfold. He didn't know what was going on. Now, it was obviously water, not lighter fluid, and there was nothing bad happening. But it was such a great visual gag. All right, so the next morning, we dug into a topic called Simplify. And the point of that was just to really drum home this idea that we can do less. We've got to just stop trying to do so much, do a lot less. And I thought one of the cool things was actually ask you to come up, James, because you do the business model where you're dealing with customers, providing them really, really good solutions. And the way that you do your business is simple. And so many people struggle with it. I'm not going to cover the details of how that works here, but anyone watching the recordings of this would just see how elegantly simple it is. And I imagine you probably got other people coming to you afterwards saying, "I get it. I get it now.
Absolutely." And it was one of that whole Simplify module was perfectly in line just with the sentiment of the 2 days. I mean, the amount of conversations that I had with people, I'm just like, you don't need to be doing that. You can make it much more simple than you're trying to make it. And I think people try and justify the effort by actually making it harder for themselves, and it's just not necessary.
And they do that before they even have a single customer. And the way you do business allows you to serve your customer better by being so focused on making sure the customer's happy.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so aligned with the way that I think it should be done. And I've been really, really focused on exactly the same thing. The way that my piece of that puzzle is to make sure that my customers are very, very happy as well. And everything works really well. Did you enjoy that module?
I missed it.
Right. Yeah, see. There you go. It's so simple, you don't even have to do it.
Exactly.
Well, that's why we recorded it, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be watching
You really did need to sleep in after the day before.
Yeah, I was wrecked.
Huge. So anyway, we then went into conversions with Clay Collins. And he had a popular presentation there because he sees a lot. He knows a lot about this. He's been on Superfast Business many times. And he did say he was actually surprised how many people in the community are so switched on already. They're using lead pages. They are getting good conversions. We even had some of our audience members come up and share some of their best conversion techniques and how they've got some test results with very, very high percentage conversions. I think the way that Clay's so direct and raw was really appreciated. What did you think of that session?
I just think Clay's a genius. I love Clay. He's a good guy. He's hilarious. He's unfiltered, and he really pays it. I mean, he has his attention on that subject. He's simple. He's paying attention to that, and he does it really well. And about half of the things that he said, I've already implemented. So I was really happy about that session.
Yeah, well, some of the test results that I've had and some of my templates I've given him, and he's implemented those for everybody in the whole system, which is fantastic.
Well, I think what's great about Clay is he has access to so much information, right? I mean, you know, people that are using lead pages, and to know that what Clay's presenting is bang on the money and is actually, you know, really what's working right now, there was some just fantastic takeaway. Simple stuff in many cases, but some real big wins that, again, looking at the 4%, just a few things applied there can make a massive difference to the business.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's any way to get, because what he has is access to platform level conversion data, not just one business, but templates across that whole platform, every industry. And it's pretty amazing the data we can get.
And some of his massive high volume customers ask him if he can build the stuff they're doing into the template to make it easier for them. And then everyone gets to share that. And he asks for permission, of course, which is great. So then we, after the conversions one, we had one of my favorite sessions because we had three different people coming up, three different topics. And it was really good to do after lunch on the last day because we got some unexpected stuff. First up was Ryan Spanger, and Ryan is a video production expert. I've interviewed him on this show as well, and he is instrumental in helping me get my videos looking better. He came up and talked to us about how he's using video. He's also another Silver Circle member, and he's had tremendous success using videos to do things where he used to do it manually, like replacing actual calls to customers by making a video instead. And he likes making videos and he's good at it, so it's a natural fit. He also showed us exactly what equipment we can buy for just around the $2,000 mark. We can end up with some pretty good gear that is well above the standard stuff that most marketers are putting out, if they're even doing video, and not far off the studio level stuff that you would have to pay a lot more for. You get right close to that mark using some good gear. So I really enjoyed Ryan's presentation. He totally got the brief. It was a stunning quality, and the audience really appreciated it too. Did you get something from it?
Yep. I got tons from it, and it was interesting to see that, you know, the whole audience got a lot from it, because later in the day there was actual video submitted, which had been submitted prior to Ryan's presentation, and so many of the crowd were going, well, it's not following that tip and it's not following that tip. So they'd obviously picked up the information, which was great. It was a classic how to get started, and anyone who's not doing video would have moved very quickly from, you know, producing probably quite poor or average videos to really good high quality stuff on that presentation.
I missed Ryan's presentation as well, and I want to point out why, because I'm going to go back and watch it, because I follow Ryan's blog, and he is a genius. You know, one of the things about these live events is they're such a good opportunity for networking and for doing business deals. So I've got a crew of people here in Australia now that I'm friends with and that are interested in what I do, and one of them offered to take me to lunch. It was really nice. We talked all about his physical product business, and we're going to end up I'm going to get business out of that, and that wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't been down here for this event.
Yeah, going to live events is crucial, and it's something that I plan for and fund. I mean, both you guys are from another country, so but you don't seem to have a Dubai accent, James.
No, well, I'm not Australian, clearly, though many people think I am, funny enough, when I bump into people in Dubai, where I actually live now. But no, I'm English, that's where I am, but residing in Dubai right now.
Yeah, going to live events is all about, in fact, that's how I met you, it's traveling to Dubai.
Yeah, 3.5 years ago now.
Yep. And
where did we first connect, like really connect? Was at a bar, and I don't even drink.
He doesn't, yeah, in San Francisco. It's imperative to travel if you want to notch your business up. Now, the Ryan lessons fit really well into the next one, which was Alan Nerthen. And Alan came and talked to us about acting. He actually fielded questions from people about what they're scared of on being on camera. He gave some terrific recommendations about eye lines. He actually revealed to the audience what I do that so few people do with my videos, that allow my videos to pull it off versus when people look insincere or shifty. He actually highlighted the difference. He gave some techniques for overcoming nerves. And one piece of advice that I thought he gave out that was really honest, and that is that it does take time to build your confidence on camera. And you just, the more time that you have on camera, the more comfortable you become with the camera. So I won't tell you what the thing that I do is. You'll have to watch the video for that one. But I thought that after that, again, when the other videos were played, people would have been able to contrast their performance with what he had taught us. And if you took the audience after those two presentations and asked them to make those videos again, I think they'd be even better. But here's the thing. Out of 125 people, we had, I think, around 25...
There was a lot of video submissions,
and there were at least half of them were of a better standard than you normally see out there in the marketplace. And I think it's because our community is very video and content creation savvy compared to the average bear.
I mean, half of them were epic, really nice, well done, well thought out, high production value videos.
We'll come to that section, but that will be a fun discussion. Kyle got on then and talked about selling services to local businesses, internet and traffic services, and he taught as much as he would teach in an entire course over weeks in 30 minutes. And when it all boils down to it, it's way, way easier than people think. And I'm going to be recommending anyone interested in this just spend 30 minutes to watch Kyle's video about how to get this services business. So he gave us the top four things you need to do.
Yeah.
It was four things. And they were simple things. And I actually regurgitated that information today on the telephone to somebody who was having a mental blockage around how they're going to be going about doing this. And I just gave them the shortcut version. And they totally clicked with it. They got it. It is a simple business model. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at your mug there, Ezra, which is an I Love SEO Partner mug. And that at some point, that domain name I picked up for $500 on a GoDaddy auction. So I've taken a $500 domain, turned it into an entire seven-figure business, and it now it's got its own mugs and T-shirts. But the whole thing is, if when I started, it was such a simple idea. I just find someone who needs more traffic to their website, and then I supply it. It's such a simple idea. And if you can leverage it up, then it can be a big idea.
And, you know, in the case of local consulting, and oftentimes you don't actually have to be the one who is fulfilling on what it takes to create that result.
I think of Mercedes-Benz cars, to give you a good metaphor for that. It doesn't have Mercedes-Benz tires, and it doesn't have a Mercedes-Benz battery. Because there are people out there who do those things well and are scalable, consistent, reliable. They do their own research and development, and they're good at it. And they've been doing it for a long time. So it would be silly for Mercedes to try and vertically integrate the entire car. They just focus on the bits they're really good at, which is traditionally things such as the engine. Mercedes-Benz had the first combustion engine vehicle in the world. And they still make the engine for most of their cars. So the engine is going to be a Mercedes-Benz. The gearbox is a Mercedes, but in a lot of other cars, it's not. There's gearbox suppliers who give gearboxes to the car manufacturers to mate up with the engine. But the little peripheral stuff, it's not worth getting into. You're not going to just go make a battery business to make the batteries for the remote control. You're going to go to Eveready or Duracell or whatever. So figure out which parts of your business you should be doing and which parts you should not be doing. And I think that was a great distinction from the event with the 4% power curve concept, with what Kyle said, with what I said, with what you said, James. It was just a recurring theme. You could probably stop doing a lot of stuff and have a better business for it. And then we went into another session, which was called Action. And this was the final session of the day. And my goal with this, the thing that I had planned about 4 months ago before the event, was that I wanted to help people get value from the event. So I gave them an exercise to prioritize all their actions and to come up with at least one thing that they're going to do with the top few. And when I say few, I really do mean few, maybe half a dozen things that will dramatically change their business. And I actually, hand on heart, believe that a participant of Fast Web Formula 4 who was paying attention and turned up to all of the modules will... I'm looking at Ezra there.
Ezra, you got no hope.
Yeah. Folks, if you go to events, sit in on the sessions. If it's a good event. If it's a crap event, sure. And make people take you to dinner afterwards. Now, if someone went to that event and they were paying attention and they've identified their top actions, they will get a significant lift in their business. So I'm going to be looking for success stories from this particular event. One of the most fun things we did, we had a competition. I gave away a bottle of $700 Grange Hermitage. It's a famous Australian wine. And to win it...
Well, priceless also.
Well, no, it's $700 and something.
Yeah. And it was a priceless Think Act Get limited edition.
There was. It was a T-shirt.
T-shirt.
It was priceless.
I think so.
Well, it was the only one left.
That's right.
After Ezra put the rest in his bag. I've been ratting your bag here while you're staying at my place.
Only two. I only got two.
Yeah, two. You know, I got three.
But that new you got
three. I think I have a priceless three. But only because I don't know what size I am. Because the size I think I am, everyone says I'm not.
James thinks he's an XL, XL, but he's an L.
Yeah, so this, you know, this is... I'm so confused by it at the moment. I'm holding one of each. So.
But you did wear an L on the last day.
I did, and you
looked fantastic.
And when I look back at the video, if I look chubby, then I'll come looking for it. Someone told me the Fast Food Formula 4 hoodies look like we're an army of Smurfs.
I quite like the color.
Smurf blue.
I think it's a good color.
I like the color. The blue's a happy, vibrant color. It's full of energy.
Well, this time I actually had a friend of mine over when I had to send my order, like literally just sitting here in the same seat. And I said, oh, gee, I've got to send my hoodie order. I didn't say, oh, gee, I said something else. And he happens to be a fashion designer. And I said, Michael, what color should my hoodies be? And he goes, well, what were they before? And I went and showed him the last three. And then he said, all right, this one. And he picked the ones we got.
And it's a bold statement.
Bold. Well, we had red ones before.
Okay.
That was bold.
Yeah, that is bold.
But it's still pretty bold.
It is. Well, orange is it,
here's my main question as a promoter. Is it a keeper or is it a thrower?
No, this is a keeper. I slept in this last night. So there
well,
you go.
I'll be wearing mine when I turn up the air conditioning really high in Dubai. I'll have my hoodie on and my hands in my pockets.
I'd have to chuckle. You were sitting in there with three or four tops on. It's a little bit cool here in Sydney compared to Dubai.
It's a few degrees lighter at the moment, yeah.
So anyway, we reviewed the competition winners. And as we said, there was a lot of video submissions. And the criteria was the top tip, keep it under a minute. And as Clay Collins and Ezra were the judges, I asked them to come up and to watch them. And I don't know if you can get two more different people than Clay Collins and Ezra Firestone. Ezra is very relaxed and chilled. Clay is quite intense and analytical. So to have those two judging it, we got some really, really interesting responses for the positive or the meh. And they actually... When you decided the winner, was it strong for both of you?
It was immediate, and we both knew right away which one was the
winner. Someone managed to appeal to both of you.
Yeah.
And so Luke won it, our good friend Luke. And hopefully he enjoys that bottle of Grange. But he won it through merit, which was one of the tips I gave at the event. Reward good achievement.
Yeah.
Reward the behavior you want. I think we got so many entries because I've had competitions before and people can see that there are rewards for making it. I think you submitted something once before.
I did. Yeah, last one I came to back in, what was it, 2000?
It was 18 months ago.
Yeah, 18 months ago. Yeah.
So there are rewards, and there are rewards in business for going out there and just doing something. So I feel satisfied for putting on an event. It is a fair bit of effort. There's a lot of expense, huge money change. I mean... We're basically helping the hotel survive and all their staff and the staging crew and the video crew and the catering. And I mean, a lot of people, we create a lot of jobs with something like this, and we're funding the economy. But I think that the participant is the winner. They've come to the event. They've gotten great information, and they're going to be able to do something with that. If you're listening to this and you didn't come to the event, then hop into fastwebformula.com. As we load up the modules, you'll be able to watch the event and implement the same stuff that we taught. I just want to thank both of you guys for sitting in. We could have been doing something else. We could have been watching a very funny Adam Sandler video. Or
Who you don't like, by the way, right?
No. I don't mind him.
You don't mind him? Who's Jim Carrey is who you
don't
like.
I'm not a big fan of Jim
Carrey. Yeah, that's who it is.
What about you? You
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
I like Jim Carrey.
Right. But you're starting to like some things over here. You used to like New York, and now you think Manly's pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you, I had no idea. I just had no idea how amazing it is here.
So it's the middle of winter, and you're surfing today.
I know.
And the vegetables are better, apparently.
Strawberries are good.
The I can't even talk. I'm so excited.
Well, I was explaining to Ezra the food produce is good in Australia, and that even in our normal local supermarket with our food quality standards and good produce, you're going to get pretty good stuff.
And yeah. I mean, I love New York City. It will always have a place in my heart. I'm a New Yorker. I love it. And also, this is really nice. It's a nice change of pace. It's got a big city and a beach 15 minutes apart. You just don't find that anywhere.
Yeah, so I think my next event could quite likely be in Sydney, and it could very likely be somewhere like Manly.
Well, I'd come back for that. Yeah. You can count me in.
You've been to Manly every time you come over here.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's a great place. I mean, Sydney as a whole is fantastic, but Manly itself is a great location.
Right, so listener, we're going to wrap it up. Head over to fastwebformula.com and join the membership. Watch the videos. Learn. I'll be in there answering questions. Ezra's a member. And you remember, James?
Maybe I should be.
He's thinking about maybe.
I mean, it is. I like to say this anytime we're talking about Fast Web Formula, because it's one thing to promote yourself. It's another thing to have someone tell people that you are good and endorse you. I think that Fast Web Formula is by far the most well-priced and highest leverage and best forum that has best forum in the world of marketing and online marketing that you can be a part of today. I mean, the caliber of people that are in that forum and the barrier to entry to get access to those people and the conversations that are happening in there is just incredible.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
So there you go. To do that real quick.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.